Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar
thou discerning. A brief review of last class is the following. Okay, we have to know who God is, where we are, where we're heading, and how to get there. Okay. So this is why we're here in life. We are here in this world to get to know God, love God, serve God, so that we can be with God in heaven. Now we try to memorize that. It's not that hard to memorize. You're here for that one purpose. You're here to get to know God, love God, serve God in this life so as to be with Him forever in heaven. Okay, let's jump into the text. Don't fill it in until we arrive at it. Okay, we'll arrive at it, God willing. Okay, so today we are going to enter into the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith. Okay? Of all the mysteries, a mystery is something that transcends reason but does not contradict it. Okay, we're going to be trying to get to know the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith, and that is the Blessed Trinity. La Santissima Trinidad, if you speak Spanish, okay? We're going to try at least to get to know a little bit about this. We're not going to understand this fully until we get to heaven, because it's a mystery that goes way beyond our limited reasoning and our intellect. But we have to try to understand it. Faith seeks understanding, as St. Anselm teaches us. So we have faith. We want to try to understand our faith as best we can. Okay? All right. Now, one of the greatest mysteries of our Catholic faith is the Most Blessed Trinity. Okay, we believe that there is one God, but three separate and distinct persons. One God, three separate and distinct persons. God revealed this mystery to us. Jesus, who is the Son of God, made man, revealed this to us. So mystery, as we said earlier, something that goes beyond or transcends reason, but it does not contradict reason, meaning it is not illogical. Okay, understand. Saint Anselm, a great doctor of the Church, stated, faith seeks understanding. Faith seeks understanding. This means that we should try to study to learn our Catholic faith. Okay, let's say the prayer together. Prayer. See it there? Together, God, help me to understand who you are so I can love you more and serve you better. Say that prayer again. God, help me to understand you so that I can love you more and serve you better. That's why we're here. Get to know God, love God, serve Him, so we can get to heaven. Okay, first question. First question. Is the Father God? Is the Father God? And the response is?
Yes.
Yes, the Father is God. Okay, the Father is in the Trinity. In the Trinity, is the Father is the first or the second or the third person in the Most Blessed Trinity? He's the first. So God the Father is the first person in the Blessed Trinity. The Father is the Father is the Creator. Write that in there. Father is the Creator. He created the whole world out of love for you and for me. So we should love God fully and totally. Is there any element in the created universe that seems to captivate you most, that you like most? Is there anything in creation, in nature, that you like?
When we are healthy, it's marvelous how every single cell in the body has a purpose.
Wow, that's great. How every cell in the body has a purpose, great. Never heard that from a confirmation student yet, but very well said, yes. We got so many different cells, right? No, we don't have one, but so many different cells. What do you think? You're a thinker. No? You know, I how about you? Anything nature? No? Nothing? No? I really like the sun. When the sun comes out in the morning, I really like that. When the sun is going down, when the sun is at its highest point in midday, the sunshine, the warmth of the sun, the light of the sun. I'll tell you something interesting. Do you know, do any of you know how to say the word sunflower in Spanish? If you know Spanish, it's cool. Okay, I'll tell you. Girasol. Girasol. You know, gira comes from the reflexive verb girarse, which means, do you know Spanish a little bit? Turning towards. Girarse sol. So the sun flower in Spanish, it means the flower that turns toward the sun. And that's true. Very true. I haven't seen too many sunflowers in California, but my parents live in New Hampshire. I go home and take walks, and often I see this patch of sunflowers. And once I arrived, and there was a lot of rain, and the sunflowers were like this. Looked like they were mourning someone that died, and they were drooping down like this. Then after a day, and as the sun was shining, I walked the following day, And the sunflowers were like this. It's cool. In other words, they respond to sun. If you want to kill a sunflower, just pull them out of the sunlight. You're going to dry up and die. But if you want a sunflower to grow, to blossom and flourish, expose a sunflower to the sun. So in nature, that's always, and when I lift up the host at mass, it makes me think about the sun rising in the sky. And the host is a circle. The sun is a circle. You probably know in your basic chemistry or astronomy, the sun is actually a star. You know that? It's a medium-sized star. And it's basically a ball of fire. And what it does is the sun, it gives both light and it gives heat. Those are two properties in physics, right? Okay. And we want to have light to our mind and love in our heart. So there's a real connection between the Holy Spirit and the sun. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost, it was in fire. Tongues of fire upon the head. So I don't know, you guys live in a city, you probably don't like nature. I like nature. Because nature, the beauty of creation makes me think about the beauty of the Creator behind it. So behind the beauty of creation, you got the beauty of the Creator. Did you ever go to one of those aquariums, maybe in Long Beach? Did you? You know, what captivates me is so many different fish. If you're walking through, there are not only different species, but even in the same species, the fish are different. Did you ever go to the San Diego Zoo? Or maybe the LA Zoo? How many different animals? I remember the last time I went to San Diego Zoo to take my parents, all the animals were asleep. And I said, that's not the way you treat guests when they come. You shouldn't fall asleep. No. The only animal that was not asleep was the monkey. The monkeys were climbing up trees, and they were jumping around, and they were kind of making a lot of fun. All the other animals had fallen asleep, and I thought, my parents traveled 3,000 miles, and you poor animals, you fell asleep on them. That's bad manners, huh? Okay, a little bit of humor is good for us, right? Okay, so is the sun God? That's number two. Is the sun God? What do you think? Yes. So right in there. Yes, the sun is God. The sun is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So he's equal to the Father in essence, but the Son is distinct from the Father. What is the name of the Son? It's the most important name in the whole world. The name of the Son of God is Jesus. Write that in there. So Jesus, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God made man. Okay, now in Jesus, who is the second person. Oh, is there another? This ran out of ink. Maybe you can see if you can get me another one.
Okay.
I'll get you another. Okay. How many natures are there in Jesus? Jesus, there are two natures. They are? The divine nature. Put that in there. There's the divine nature. The divine nature. And the what? Good. Okay, so there's a human nature. The divine nature and the human nature. The human nature means that Jesus, thank you, was man. Good. So the divine nature means that Jesus is God. You got it. Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Jesus has how many natures?
Two.
Okay, two. So the first is he is divine, which means that he is God. And the human means that he is, look at this one, you ready? So he's man. So he's divine, means God, and human means that he is man. And he is the second person of the Trinity. Second person of the Trinity. When you make the sign of the cross, you make the sign of the cross in honor of the Trinity, right? You go in the name of the Father, right? And of the Son, then of the Holy Spirit. So every time you make the sign of the cross, you're professing in a corporeal, material way, you're professing your faith in the Trinity every time you make the sign of the cross. Okay, what is the incarnation? Is the incarnation the same as reincarnation? Do you know what reincarnation means? Never heard the word reincarnation, you guys? It's a philosophy from the Hindu and the Buddhist religion, and it means this, that you're born, you live, you die, and then you come back as another creature. Okay? I'm surprised you guys never heard that before. It's called reincarnation. You're born, you live, you die, and you come back as another creature. So if you lived a really good life, you maybe come back like as a king. Okay? If you really live a bad life, you may return as a crocodile or as an alligator, okay? Or as a spotted owl. Okay? They believe that. Therefore, you know, they're not. If you go to India, they're not going to be stepping on like an ant, because they might think that might have been their great grandfather. That's called reincarnation. You laugh at it, but they actually believe that. They don't believe that, because that could have been one of their ancestors. We don't believe in that. We believe that you have one life, you live, you die, then you're judged by Jesus, and you go up or you go down. You're saved or you're damned. And there's no other possibility. So their study of history is circular. Ours is linear. Circular, born, live, die, return. Born, live, die, return. Then you went to the state of karma, which is non-existence. You no longer exist. Whereas for us, it's like, it's linear. This is the Judeo-Christian Catholic vision. Is that you're born, and then you live a certain amount of years. Right? And then what happens is your death. And when you die, it's either one or two possibilities. You go up or you go down. In other words, you're saved or you're damned. Do you know who would be damned? Who would go to hell?
Bad people.
Okay. How about someone who dies in mortal sin? Would that be that type of person?
Yes.
Okay. Who goes to heaven? Could a bad person change and be a good person?
Yes.
Could a good person change and be a bad person?
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it? You have some people that are living really good lives and then they change and they end up being bad. Whereas other people are living very bad lives and then at the end of their lives they turn to be good. Do you remember the Jesus on the cross? Who was on the left and the right? Kind of. Were they good people or bad people most of their lives? Yeah. Well, they're both thieves. And they murderers, and they started wars. So they both started, they lived pretty bad lives. But how did they end? Any of you see the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson? It's a cool movie. Did you see it? So they're on the cross. They both start to curse Jesus, and then one of them looks at Jesus and says to his companion, look, we're here because we deserve it. This man hasn't done evil to anyone. He's a good man. And he turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked up, he was about to die, Jesus, and said, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in heaven. And that bad thief, he died and he went right to heaven because he was sorry, he told Jesus he was sorry, and he wanted to start a new life, and he died, he was taken right to heaven. Beautiful story, isn't it? One of my favorites. He lived a bad life, but at the very end, he repented. So there's always hope. Even if we make mistakes, there's always hope. So we have to keep returning to God, like the parable of the prodigal son. We had two Sundays ago. We always can return to God. We do that especially through going to confession. Okay? Okay? Let's move on. So number five, what is the incarnation? The incarnation is a very important truth. It means that the human nature and the divine nature were united. Human nature and the divine nature, they were united. So when did this incarnation take place? Okay, the incarnation of the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus the Lord, took place during the, write it in, the Annunciation. Write that in there. During the Annunciation. That's when the Blessed Virgin Mary said, yes. She said yes to the Archangel Gabriel, sent by God. That moment the incarnation took place. What were the words of Mary that affected the incarnation? Mary said, she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. What is that? What is that? Those letters in parentheses. What are those? You know. Okay, but what are the? What are those? What's LK 138 mean? Do you know?
It stands for answer the book of Luke 1:38?
Okay, so it's the Gospel of Luke, but how about 1? What does 1 refer to? What?
I think it refers to like chapter.
Good. And then the 38? Okay, what did you say? No, not. Someone said it. Verse. Well, good, we're learning. So, if you got the LK, that stands for Luke. Okay, then the 1 stands for the chapter, and then the following number stands for the verse. So whenever you're reading books about God in the Bible, you're always going to be seeing in parentheses usually one or two letters, then you have one number, then a colon, point, point, then the following number. What would this be? You know? Guys, I never read the Bible before. What? It's the Gospel of Matthew. Okay, chapter 5, verse 10. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 11. Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you now. I'm going to throw a tough one at you. Can I? This is much more difficult, but you have to know the Bible a little bit more, no? Well, good, okay. Exodus, do you know where that is? So it's in the Old Testament. In the Exodus, we find the person of Moses who gets the Ten Commandments. How about this? This is one of the most famous chapters in the whole Bible. This is the way it's abbreviated. Good. Psalm 23, that's the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, the most famous psalm in the whole Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Even though I have to walk through dark valleys, I feel no evil because you're with me with your rod and your staff. Okay? You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I believe that I'll live in the house of the Lord for years to come. How about that for memory? So I have it memorized. You try to memorize good, important parts of the Bible. Okay? That's Psalm 23, Psalm of the Good Shepherd. How about this one?
Romans,
okay. So Romans chapter 5, verse 10. So St. Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, okay? So little by little we're learning. So reading the Bible, you have to learn how to read the initials and the abbreviations, as well as especially reading the chapters and understanding and putting them into practice, right? Yeah. All right, so we have arrived at number 7. What were the words of Mary that affected the incarnation? Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to the word." Then Jesus became incarnate, which means, write it in there, he took on flesh. He took on flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's really extraordinary if you think about it, how God became man. It's really extraordinary if you think about it. God becomes man. Okay, number 8. Is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Write that in there. Yes, the Holy Spirit also is God. He is the third person of the Most Blessed Trinity. He is equal to the
Son.
But who else? He's equal to the Father and the Son. Okay? He's equal to the Father and the Son. So he is distinct or different from the Father and the Son, but they're equal. So you're going to say the Father is greater than the Son is greater than the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. They're equal. So you're not going to understand this fully, nor am I, because of the great mystery. But we have to try to understand as much as we can. Got that? Explain the relation between... Can you do me a favor? Could you erase the board for me? I'm going to use it. Thank you very much. Explain the relationship between the three persons in the Trinity. Okay, explain the relationship between the three persons in the Trinity. Okay, I'm going to do it by means of just writing a few things on the board. So, right here, you've got the Father. The middle of the board. Okay, the Father loves the Son. Okay, so the Father loves the Son. And the Son loves the Father. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. Now, what about the Holy Spirit? Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. Got it? It's cool, isn't it? Father loving the Son loving the Father, but the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. There you have it. Okay, so let's go back to our number nine. Explain the relationship. Father loves the Son, and the Son, in turn, loves the Father. Then the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's explain now the different roles of the three persons. The Father is the Creator. Father is the Creator of the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the Redeemer or Savior. He saved us by His incarnation. Life, death, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. That means He who makes us holy. Okay, sanctifier, He who makes us holy. Can you name a biblical passage where we encounter the Blessed Trinity? You see that little picture there? What is that picture? You see it to the right. What biblical passage is that? Jesus, when he was 30 years old, he went to the Jordan River. What happened in the Jordan River?
He was baptized.
Okay. Do you encounter the Blessed Trinity in the baptism of Jesus? How about the Father? How do we encounter the Father? Through His voice, right? How about the Holy Spirit? Remember how the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a... Yeah, good. It's form of a bird, or form of a dove. So you got the voice of the Father, you got the dove which symbolized the Holy Spirit, then you have Jesus descending into the water of the Jordan. Probably the best example you have of the Trinity in the Bible. Okay, probably the best example you have. So when someone asks you, you're a Catholic, where do you have the Trinity in the Bible? Where is it? Well, point to the baptism of Jesus. There you have it. The voice of the Father, the presence of Jesus going into the water, Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. What did the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I have my pleasure. Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. You can't say the Holy Spirit is a dove, but that was a symbol. So let's go to number 11. So the biblical passage is the baptism of Jesus. Where is that to be found? What? Luke, right? LK is Luke, not Lake. Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. There you have it. Then you have the, write this in there, the voice of God the Father is heard. The physical presence of Jesus descends into the Jordan River. And the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descends on Jesus. Voice of the Father, the presence of Jesus as a man, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. There you have the Blessed Trinity. Okay, now I'm going to give you some analogies. Did you ever hear of an analogy? Do you study literature in school? Analogy, basically, it's a comparison. Okay? One of the best analogies, meaning, write it in there, comparisons, to understand the Blessed Trinity, is attributed to St. Patrick. St. Patrick, who is the missionary of Ireland. Maybe St. Patrick, that you guys always dress in green, probably, right? You know, the green beer, right? Lakes are turned green. You know, certain places, huh? Die in lakes, okay? Okay, he used the... But what type of clover? Three-leaf clover. The three-leaf clover as an analogy to explain the Trinity. So he showed to the people one three-leaf clover, but it had three distinct leaves. So in the Blessed Trinity, there's one God, but three distinct persons. So you see the three-leaf clover there? Do you want to explain that Trinity? Okay, you pull out the three-leaf clover. Here's one clover, but there are three leaves. So there's one God and three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Got that? Now, you who are an expert in geometry, we'll go from nature to geometry, okay? How about a triangle? Do you know what an equilateral triangle is? What's that? What? You got it. Good. So an equilateral triangle. There's one triangle, but there are three equal angles. So we believe there is one God, but three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Got that? You can see the equilateral triangle there at the right. I didn't write this in, I've got another one for you. How are you in chemistry? Not that good? Did you ever hear of H2O? What happens if you really heat it up? You boil it. It's going to come out of steam, right? How about if you freeze it? So it's the same molecular content of H2O. You got water, room temperature. You got steam, when it's 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Right? And then you got ice, if it freezes. But it's the same molecular content. So we've given them an example through nature, through mathematics, and also through chemistry. You guys are going to be experts and explain the Trinity to your brothers and sisters and your friends at school. Someone explain, use all these examples that we've given to you. Right? Starting with the Bible, right? the baptism of Jesus. We use Bible, creation, mathematics, chemistry. I'll give you another one that you're probably going to laugh at, but I'll give it to you anyway. Okay. Okay, this is like your grandfather. Okay, this is my grandfather, who died about 45 years ago. This is my father, who died 3 years ago, and this is yours truly. So you've got three different persons, right? But you got the same name, right? How about that for creativity? Interesting, right? So you got the same broomness, but you have three different persons. The grandfather, the son, and then the grandson. Only I can do that. Are any of you the third in your family? No? Yeah. So only I can do that. So, grandfather, son, grandson. Same name, three separate persons. How about that? Only I can do that one. Huh? Okay, let's move on. And don't say that I said that I was a Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. I'm using by means of analogy. Okay. Okay, number 14. Are you ready? You look like you're ready. Okay. Do we have contact with the Blessed Trinity? When? Yes, in the moment that we were baptized, we became temples. We became temples of the Blessed Trinity. When the minister, usually the priest, poured the water on our forehead and said these words, name. So write your name in there. Write your name in it. You can write your name, right? Okay, John or Peter or Paul or Claude. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In that moment, God entered into your soul. That moment. The Trinity entered into your soul in the moment of baptism. That was the most important moment of your life. You were probably a little kid, you don't remember it, but very, very important. Okay, we became, you're going to see what was our relationship to the Trinity. You became a son of God. You became a son of God. And you became a younger a younger brother of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is your older brother. And then we became an intimate friend to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is your best friend. You're never alone. You have the Holy Spirit, your best friend. Are we important? Yes. We have great dignity due to our creation, but even more due to our baptism, indeed in all truth, through baptism. We become living temples of the Blessed Trinity. And living temples of the Blessed Trinity. You know, on Sunday something interesting happened. There was a man in the parish that said that his nephew and her wife had a baby, but the baby was very, very, very sick. And the baby was maybe in danger of dying. And they said, you bring that baby to the church as soon as possible. So within 2 hours, they lived, I think, in Chino Hills, pretty far away. They drove in, and I baptized that little baby in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now that little baby is a daughter of God, sister to Jesus Christ, and a friend of the Holy Spirit. So just you're aware, if you, once you know, you become a father or you become a godfather, if ever a baby is born, and the baby has to be in an incubator, you've probably heard of an incubator where the baby has to have maybe tubes or maybe a respirator, breathing machine, have that baby baptized as soon as possible. Because what happens if the baby's not baptized? You know? We get to heaven, we have to be baptized, right? And then if the baby gets better, usually the baby will get better, then you do the rest of the ceremony in baptism. Yeah? So just you're aware of that. Because some of the babies, they're born of 2 or 3 pounds, and they can't really breathe properly, and babies are very, they're weak. You know? So I'm really insistent upon that. Don't hold off baptism. Yeah. Do you know when you're baptized? You might even ask your parents tonight. They probably have a baptismal certificate somewhere in the house. When were you baptized? I was baptized March 25th in Detroit, Michigan. No? Our Lady Queen of Martyrs. No? Father Heber, he'd be 125 years old today, but he's not. He died. No? I think he died, otherwise he's probably the oldest priest in Michigan. Okay, so indeed, in all truth, through baptism we became living temples of the Blessed Trinity. What should we do to remain in God and God in us? We should try to avoid sin, especially mortal sin. Try to avoid sin, especially mortal sin. Through mortal sin, we lose the presence of the Blessed Trinity in our souls. Okay, say for example, you commit a mortal sin. How can we recover the Trinity in our souls if we had the misfortune of committing a mortal sin? Is there any hope? Okay, good. So through making a sincere and well-prepared confession, write that in there, confession to the priest who represents Jesus, the divine physician, the Blessed Trinity is restored to our souls. The priest says, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Once again, you become a son of God, a brother to Jesus Christ, and a friend of the Holy Spirit. That's great. Guys, you try to go to confession. Try to go to confession at least once a month, if not more often. Once a month. Maybe even more often. Feel better. Okay, so number 19. How can we recall often the presence of the Trinity? Two special ways. First, by making the sign of the cross with great reverence, saying the words. Let's say them together. In the name of the Father, in the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So every time you do that, call to mind that you're a son of God, you're a brother to Jesus Christ, you're a friend of the Holy Spirit. Every time you make the sign of the cross, try to remember that. Try to remember that. You got God within you. We got great dignity. The two D's, dignity and destiny. Dignity, you're a son of God. Destiny, you're destined to heaven. Amen? Yes? What's that? Oh, you're stretching. Okay. Okay, so second, by praying reverently, the glory be. So you pray reverently, the glory be. Let us pray it now with great reverence, respect, and love. You guys know how to say the glory be. You said it about five times at the beginning of the class, right? So together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So by making the sign of the cross and saying that prayer, you're calling to mind the presence of the Trinity within you. So the Trinity is in heaven, but the Trinity is within you. So God is not far from you. He's within you, living in the state of grace. As the poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. As the Greek poet put it, in Him we live and move and have our being. Yep. Okay, so we've arrived at number 20. Is Our Lady related to the Blessed Trinity?
Yes.
Yes, very much so. Let's talk about the relationship between Mary and the Blessed Trinity. So Mary is the... she's the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Okay. How about the next one? Mary's the daughter of God the Father. Nope. You got it. She's the mother of God the Son. Good. She's the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. And the next one is somewhat poetic. And it is, she's the mystical spouse. How about that for poetry, huh? Mary's the mystical spouse of the Holy Trinity. Okay, so we have a closing prayer today. Don't close up yet. We got the closing prayer. So it is eternal together. Eternal Father, I adore you for giving me life. Jesus, my Savior, I thank you for dying on the cross to save me. Holy Spirit, I love you and make me holy. Amen. So you learned a lot today. Let's say the Hail Mary. Really learned a lot. Keep up the good work. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. God bless, and have a good week, and you can do that roll call.
I'm going to do the roll call right now, but we have, again, the binders.
Oh, okay.
So we're supposed to send them home. And stick your papers in them today and bring them back every week per the office. Did you want to see the office thing?
Before me and behind, and thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I?
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.